Stone & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063 The Game. Streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Tomorrow, the official Eagles week starts. The Titans will be talking about the Eagles. The Eagles will return to practice after their Sunday night win over the Packers. They'll be talking about the Titans. And we all know what the number one storyline of the Titans and the Eagles game is going to be.
A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown. In fact, Fox's number one crew will have the game, even though I think it is not a number one crew by any stretch of the imagination. I think they stink. But Kevin Burkhart, Greg Olson, Aaron Andrews, Tom Rinaldi, they will be doing the game on Sunday, Titans and the Eagles, and you know they're going to talk a lot about A.J. Brown, especially considering how much they talked about Odell Beckham on Thanksgiving. You know, every play was...
You'd have thought he was on the field.
You would have thought it was awful. But... I'm going to tell you exactly how the week is going to go. Now, I am going to tell you the difference between what's actually going on in the Titans building and what the Titans are going to say. Which one do you want to hear first? What the Titans are actually saying amongst themselves or what the Titans are going to say to the public over the next 3 days?
What are the Titans going to say to the public?
Okay. Mike Vrabel will be asked about it. Already was asked about it earlier this week. Mike Vrabel will be asked about it. Mike Vrabel will talk about how A.J.'s a really good player, and he valued his time with A.J., but A.J.'s part of a really good team, and they've got to focus on that whole team. They've got to focus on Jalen Hurts. They've got to focus on Miles Sanders. They got to focus on Devontae Smith. They got to focus on Quez Watkins. They got to focus on A.J. Brown. They got to focus on – that's what it's going to be about.
What are they actually saying?
They are going to want to shove it on A.J. Brown.
Absolutely they
and
are.
And here's an example of how I know this. Kevin Byard yesterday, I don't know why Byard and Robert Woods had to meet with the media. I guess the league was like, hey, we want two guys on Monday or so. I don't know. But Byard and Robert Woods met with the media, and Byard was asked about five questions about A.J. Brown. Really didn't say anything worthwhile about other than A.J.'s a friend, and I'm going to cut up with him, and he's a great player, and he's doing great, and that's a great team. But then he slid in there that he remembers the tweet during the Kansas City game. If you don't know what we're talking about, during the Titans game against Kansas City where they had Malik Willis at quarterback, A.J. sent out a tweet that said nobody open, and I think, it was a picture of him laughing?
I think it was like a laughing emoji or like a laughing meme, something like that.
So it was somebody laughing, and it was about how nobody was open during the Sunday night football game. Now, that's one of many things that A.J. Brown has put out there on Twitter that has been some kind of dig at the Titans.
Kind of thesis on that man's Twitter.
Everything. From the end of last season until the day he was traded, it was a constant line of A.J. said this or A.J. said that or A.J. did this. And the Titans, for the most part, have really stayed out of getting into the A.J. business. But Kevin Byard, when asked about A.J. Brown, brings up the tweet from the Sunday night game and just know he remembers.
A.J. was obviously a very popular guy, really, but have there been some times where he – kind of surprised you with some of the jab or two that he seems to take on social media back at the Titans?
I mean, A.J., you know, A.J. always had, you know, little moments on social media and stuff like that. I wouldn't say it surprised me or nothing like that. Obviously, when he tweeted that, I think it was the Kansas City game or something like that. It was during the game, so I didn't see it. I didn't see it until after the game. It was funny. But, you know, he got his thoughts and stuff like that. Obviously, he's a guy that I respect and I love and admire. You're going to chop it up with him pregame, probably after the game and everything. But, you know, he's in Philly now. We can only focus on what we can do.
I'm telling you, he didn't forget.
I think it was the Kansas City game or like maybe something.
But
like
he did it during the game. I didn't see it till after the game. Well, duh. Unless you're running over to the sidelines and they're like, hey, here's your phone, KB. And he's looking at it.
An A.J. Brown cam on the field of whatever he's been tweeting throughout the game.
But the reality is, They're going to want to shove it to A.J. Now, A.J.'s going to want to shove it back to them. But I think that we're going to see, I think inside the locker room, and it would be wise for Vrabel to do this. Last week, he did the whole it's not a revenge game with Cincinnati, and I ultimately think that was a bad idea. Because I don't think they gave the Bengals enough respect. I don't think they walked into that game thinking, hey, this is a team that just ruined our Super Bowl hopes last year and went to the Super Bowl themselves and won the AFC, and this team is going to do it again, and this team's coming in here to take our lunch money just like they did last year.
See, I think
and that's
were,
what
though.
Happened. Oh, I don't.
Did you see the video of Jeffrey Simmons in the huddle pregame?
Jeffrey Simmons always talks.
But he said last year we walked out on the wrong side of the field. We're not walking out on the wrong side of the field this time.
Yeah, he was right about that one. I don't think that they, I don't think they talked, like, I don't think they respected Cincinnati enough. Like, just
Why?
Throughout the week. Because they never really talked about them. It was just like, yeah, they're good. You know, not a revenge game.
I think because
game.
They wanted to brush off the revenge game title that a lot of people were giving that game.
And I just don't think that they, I don't think they respected Cincinnati enough. And I certainly don't think they respected Joe Burrow enough. But this game, I think this game, this is a legitimate revenge game. I think the Titans organization is mad at AJ. I think the Titans players are mad at AJ. And I think it's little things like what Byard said there about the social media thing and about the tweet during the Kansas City game. I think the Titans players understand, hey, your business between you and the team, that's your business. That is, you know, you want to get paid. You wanted the team to pay you. They didn't pay you. You felt like you were disrespected by the team. You got traded. Hey, we'll love you. Wish you the best. But that's your business. That's fine. But when you're tweeting during the game about us, now it's personal.
It's personal.
Now you're making it about us. And that I think these players are going to be about. I think these players are going to want to go out there. And if nothing else, I think they're going to want to shut AJ up. Now, I think another thing about this, too, is I think the owner is going to view this as a revenge game with AJ. And I think because we know the owner is going to view that as a revenge game, I think that now if you're the coaching staff and if you're the general manager, you have to keep that in your mind going into this game. But the last thing you want to have happen, the last thing you want to see is you want to see A.J. Brown go for 147 yards and two touchdowns and Treylon Burks have three catches for 14 yards. That's the last thing you want. Because you know that the owner's emotion is in this, and you know the owner felt disrespected by A.J. Brown with all of his bullcrap all of this offseason. So that's what makes it a revenge game. The fact that it's personal for the players, because A.J. made it personal, and the fact that the owner, you know, you don't trade A.J. Brown without talking to the owner. You don't do all that. You don't do that without talking to the owner. You can cut Andrew Adams, and you don't have to go talk to the owner. You don't trade A.J. Brown if you don't talk to the owner. So the owner was obviously advised throughout the whole process of what A.J. said or what A.J. wanted or what A.J. was going to do or anything else. And all the things that we heard about TD reporting that A.J. told him this and then the Titans sources telling TD that and then finding out that the truth was really this and all of that, everything else. Those things, those anger the owner, and if they anger the owner, the coach knows that, and that affects the coach. And I'm going to tell you what else. I don't think Vrabel took very kindly to the way A.J. Brown left town. And I know he says he and A.J. were very close, and he told A.J. don't burn any bridges, and A.J. has absolutely burned bridges. And so I think for the coach, I think this is kind of personal. So I think that there is some juice. And then that's, you know, just looking at the Titan side of it, of what they're saying internally about A.J., you know A.J. wants to go out there and have 200 yards receiving.
100%.
And you know A.J. is going to make sure that Jalen Hurts knows, I want the ball. And that everybody else knows, I want the ball. And the way the NFL works is, in certain places, like here, if A.J. Brown walked into the meeting room and said, I want the ball, I don't know how they would react. I don't know if Vrabel would be like, no, we're doing a game plan that gives us the best chance to win, or if Vrabel, the former player, and Vrabel can be pretty petty, if Vrabel would be like, we're going to shove it up their keister, just like he did to Matt LaFleur at the end of the Packer game
when they threw the bomb
to Treylon Burks. That was all about pettiness, and Vrabel didn't care. Just like when they played the Patriots in 2018, and they tried the reverse throw to Brady, and it was incomplete, and the next series, the Titans threw the reverse pass to Mariota. You know, that's Vrabel. But in Philadelphia, I guarantee you, they're like, oh, we're getting A.J. the ball this week.
Dunk on him.
So this is going to be, the Titans publicly are going to tell all of us tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, they're going to tell us that it is not that big of a deal, that it's the Titans versus the Eagles.
Keep this week from being all about A.J. Brown.
I mean, it's best team in the National Football League. You know, ran for 360 yards. Be plenty of challenges. It's a good football team on the road. You know, we had the Titans and who we have proven to be, and hopefully who we are. You know, just have to prepare this week, and we have to show up and try to do things that we know are successful, and you know, not start changing things and, you know, pointing fingers, and, you know, just be accountable, make the corrections, figure out why, ask questions, learn from it, you know, and make sure that, you know, we look at the things that we do when we're doing well, that we have success, and when we don't.
Did that make any sense?
No, he was just saying words. That's what I was thinking when I was hearing him. I was like, what in the world is he saying?
So Corey Curtis asked him, how do you make this week not about A.J. Brown? Talks about the Eagles, which, get used to this. Tannehill is going to be asked tomorrow about A.J. Brown. Tannehill is going to say, hey, you know, I'm really worried about A.J. plays offense. I'm worried about the Eagles' defense. I'm worried about C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and I'm worried about Fletcher Cox, and I'm worried about, I don't even know, I mean, the Eagles' defense is great, and I don't even know who's on it. But I'm worried about all those guys. I'm not really worried about, you know, so-and-so, and I'm not worried about A.J. on offense. And then, you know, they'll ask all these guys, and they'll ask all of them, and everything. They'll ask everybody about A.J., and it'll all be the same. And yet the reality is A.J. clearly cares enough that it's going to affect the Eagles' game plan, because A.J. is going to want the ball, and they know that. Nick Sirianni knows he wants the ball. If A.J. gets the game plan on Wednesday and he opens it up and it's all a bunch of runs for Miles Sanders and it's a bunch of throws to Gatewood, then A.J. is going to walk in his office. He's going to lose his mind, yeah. And he knows that. Sirianni knows that, and so he's going to put in a bunch of plays for A.J. this week. I think Vrabel is petty enough to change the game plan or make the game plan to, I do not want A.J. Brown to embarrass me, because I think Vrabel's mad at A.J. for how all that went down, but also because I think Vrabel knows that the owner is not going to be happy if A.J. goes off on Sunday. And so if the owner cares, and I think the owner cares about this, if the owner cares, it changes things. And so I do think that it's funny, because Corey asks, how do you make this week not about A.J. Brown? And Vrabel rambles on a bunch of nothing. The reality is Vrabel should have just answered the question with, well, don't ask me about it. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
don't make it a thing.
Don't ask me about A.J. The reality is it is about A.J.
Absolutely, it's
There's
about A.J.
There's no way. Corey asks, how does this week not be about A.J. Brown? That would be like me asking Corey, how do they win the game if Malik Willis has to play quarterback? They're not going to win the game if Malik plays quarterback. It's not going to be about A.J. It's all about A.J.
It's been about A.J. since the schedule was released.
And unlike the TV drama bullcrap talk, this will affect the game. This will affect the way the Titan players play, and this absolutely will affect the way the Eagle players play, and this will affect the game plans. And yes, this is on the table today. And I you know, for Kevin Byard to talk about that tweet during the Kansas City game, like, Kevin Byard is so mild-mannered. The two guys they had talk yesterday, which makes me think this is a league-mandated thing. And I could be wrong about this. The Titans could have just said, hey, you know, we want to give some players up to the local media just because, and I could be totally wrong. But the two guys they put up there, Byard and Robert Woods, are two guys that never step in it. Neither of them step in it. Neither of them say something that it's like, why did you say that? And so for Byard, not that Byard stepped in it by talking about the tweet from A.J. during the Kansas City game about nobody being open.
But it just shows that they are well aware of it.
He knows. He remembers.
He knows.
He remembers. And they take that personal. Again, you want to sit there during the offseason and talk about how they don't respect me and I want my money and all that kind of stuff. That's your business. That's the team. That's you. Whatever. You start talking about how we're not open on Sunday Night Football, like you're so much better than us, that's personal. And I think that's how they feel about it. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. Adam in Portland has been waiting patiently. Adam, go ahead.
I circled it, Jared, and I, you know what? As soon as the schedule came out, I looked for it because I'm like, we're going to get to play that dude. I wish it was at Nissan Stadium. I looked at even getting tickets, but I know that I would have to fight a lot of people if I ended up going to Philly. That's just the reputation they have. But I take it very personal, man. As a Titans fan who sat through years of, like, suck bag receivers that are terrible and Jake Locker, just years of bad, and then we get a good player like that. He was part of what brought us back, but if he wanted to be in Nashville, he would be in Nashville. He didn't want to. He had his best friend on the line in like 20 minutes after he was traded. Like, that
20 minutes after he was traded? He was working out with him the weekend before the draft.
You know what I'm saying? So, yes, I take it very personal. I hope he has 10 yards. And you know what? I don't care. Like, I don't think he's a good pro. I know he's a phenomenal player.
Adam, what would you rather have? The Titans win and AJ has 162 and two touches, or the Titans lose, AJ goes 2 for 18?
I would rather win, but I really want that 2 for 18 so bad. Like, I promise you that I'm going to be watching him every single snap that he's on the field. So,
thank you for your call, Adam. I don't think a lot of people are different than that. I think there are a lot of people, when we talk about it being personal,
yeah,
I think this is personal for the fans too.
Absolutely, it's personal, and it doesn't have to be personal. And I was just thinking about that. Like, how many trades go on in the league where that is a game that is circled?
Oh, the Mariota, following year. If Mariota were to play, I don't know when the Titans are supposed to play the Falcons next, but if the
Let's
Titans...
Let's say they played this year.
Sure.
But it wouldn't be personal. No. It would just be like a, hey, what's Mariota's up, old, old to town. Buddy?
Right.
But it was made personal because AJ made it personal. I don't think anybody personal. Wanted it to be bad blood between the two teams.
I mean, it's personal. And it is going to affect the game plans.
Absolutely.
It is going to affect the game plans. What do we have the text line?
Michael texts in and says, shouldn't the owner have paid AJ if they didn't want to get burned by him?
I mean, we can say that. So, all right, here's what I heard. This could be right, wrong, indifferent. We're a one-source show, and I heard this when I was in Green Bay.
Okay.
So what I heard was, and some of the other things, now I've already told people this. I've already said this on the air. AJ was going around town telling people a month before the draft. He was going around the combine. AJ was telling people that he had signed a 4-year, $80 million contract, even though obviously he didn't.
He had not.
But that I've already reported before. I've already said before that's nothing new. AJ was telling people 4 years, $80 million, which tracks with TD's reporting about how Tory Dandy, the wide receiver agent, got Chris Godwin and Mike Williams the 6 years and 30 or the 3 years, $60 million mm-hmm. contract. So the 4 years, 40. Then Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams signed, and so now the money goes up. What I heard when I was in Green Bay, and again, this is word on the street. There's no inside source. Well.
An inside source?
I mean, this is what I heard.
Okay.
This is what I heard in Green Bay. That the Titans had a deal done with AJ. And Tory Dandy called and said, the day before the draft, he wanted $2 million more per year. And John Robinson hung up the phone and decided they were moving on. That's what I heard. I don't know how true it is. I don't know how not true it is. Now, that goes back to, apparently this was a day before the draft. Now, that would align with the timeline of Howie Roseman saying that they worked out the deal around noon for A.J. Brown.
Uh-huh.
And that the deal was obviously contingent, and we know that everybody was aligned with this because AJ didn't say a freaking peep about the deal being done ahead of the draft. It clearly was contingent on Treylon Burks or another receiver of that caliber being available with the 18th pick and not the 14th pick or whatever Philly's first pick in the first round was where they drafted Jordan Davis. But that would align with it, that Robinson decides the day before the draft, hang up, because they called back and they wanted to go back and renegotiate the deal. So now we're moving on.
And it would also align with Vrabel's comments of, as long as I'm coach, AJ will be here.
Or the week before, them telling me that they didn't foresee.
They didn't foresee themselves trading AJ.
Right.
And it also kind of aligns with the Debo Samuel mom Instagram Live of the $80 million, 4 years.
Well, what it really aligns with is the TD reporting. Remember, TD's first report was AJ saying that I was only offered 16 with incentives to go up to 20. And then the second nugget from TD, and that was AJ telling TD directly on the record, The second nugget from TD was the Titans did offer $20 million a year, which, again, aligns with the $80 million contract.
Right.
So that's what TD said. Well, think about this. Remember what AJ told TD as well on the record? I would have taken 22. So now think about it. I would have taken 22. AJ said it. TD reports the Titans offered 20. Doesn't that align with, we've got 20 done, phone rings, we want two more. Poor season.
Yeah.
Hang up the phone.
It makes sense.
Now, should John Robinson, if 22 is the number, and AJ ultimately ended up getting 26, but is that a real 26? That's debatable. But should John Robinson have taken the bait there and have traded AJ? Or should John have said, you know, basically, hey, look at the rising rate, you know, the inflation of the position and the fact that it's AJ Brown, and I'm just saying.
Well, that's an easy question to answer now.
Is it easy to answer now? Because Treylon Burks, the last two games, has looked like a dude.
But he's not been AJ Brown.
But AJ has not, you know, AJ had two games, I think, where he got off, and other than that, AJ's been kind of.
I still would have done it.
AJ's fumbled in each of the last two games, by the way, which should be noted. And they were big fumbles that AJ fumbled away.
Well, that's not something new.
615-737-1025. We're to your phones on this text. But again, don't expect anybody. You know what we're not doing this week? Because I can already foresee that this week's going to be a lot of AJ.
Uh-huh.
What we are not going to do this week is we are not going to do the, they said it wasn't a big deal this week playing AJ. Am I supposed to believe that you think it's a big deal when Mike Vrabel says it's not a big deal? You think I'm going to believe you when Ryan Tannehill says it's not a big deal when Jeffrey Simmons and Derrick Henry say it's not a big deal? You think I'm going to believe you over Derrick Henry? Come on now. Use your brains, people. You really think they're going to go out there and say, yeah, screw AJ, screw him for talking trash about us during the Kansas City game. We're going to shove it up his tailpipe.
You really think it's not a big deal after all this?
I'm just telling you, I guarantee you, tomorrow Vrabel's going to say it's not a big deal. Tannehill's going to say it's not a big deal. The guys in the locker room are going to say it's not a big deal. AJ has probably, I guarantee you today, because today's Tuesday, they meet Monday. They have sat AJ down in the room in Philadelphia, and they have said, AJ, do not say anything. Just don't say anything. Don't even do the AJ thing, which is the, you know, I wasn't going to say it, but don't even do that. If TD calls you, I know you love TD. We love TD. The Eagles love TD. If you see TD call, do not answer that phone. Because if you tell TD the truth, TD will report it. And if you tell TG the truth, it will be the number one story on the Titans bulletin board. We know that. TD, if you're listening, call AJ.
Yeah, we want the T.
Wait, call AJ
right now.
We need it, TD. 615-737-1025. We're to your phones. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. My guys at Hiller, I love Hiller. I've let them take care of my home for years, and it's really a pleasure for me to let them take great care of my home. Hiller is giving away cash for the holidays, and they are celebrating from now until the end of the year with special deals. Hiller wants to make sure every child experiences the joy of Christmas this year, and we're donating $50 in Toys for Tots with every tankless water heater purchase. And they're giving away a $250 Visa gift card with each unit. Get a $500 Visa gift card when you buy select new HVAC systems. Or get a $500 Visa gift card with the purchase of any new whole home generator. More deals are online at happyhiller.com. As always, happy you'll be here. The service is free. These deals are only available until the end of the year, so schedule today. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical. Proud supporters of the Preds. You'll see their logo right there on the ice here at Bridgestone Arena. The Tennessee Volunteers and the Vanderbilt Commodores. Hiller, call the Happy Face truck today.
Okonkwo, the motion man, fake it to Henry. And now throw it to Henry. Henry getting to the outside. Look out! Derrick Henry! The king is on his way! Loses the football and scooped up in the end zone. Touchdown, Tennessee! Just like they drew it up. Treylon Burks.
And this is a play that takes place in multiple parts. Derrick Henry, he gets bottled up in traffic first. So Ryan Tannehill has to wait for it. Then he gets it to him. Now watch the pursuit by Treylon Burks, 16. Because he ends up following the football, and because of his hustle following the play, he's able to dive on it and secure the football for Tennessee. Excellent play by Cam Taylor-Britt, the rookie out of Nebraska, knocking it free from Henry. But the hustle of Burks keeps the play in Tennessee's favor.
I think John Robinson secretly is thinking, you know what, it's a really good time. I'm really thankful that the last 2 weeks Treylon Burks has decided to show up, because I traded A.J. Brown for Treylon Burks, and everybody thought I was crazy. And now the last 2 weeks, Treylon Burks has played some ball, and so it doesn't look as bad right now. And the Titans are going to need Treylon Burks to play some ball if they're going to be able to win on Sunday at Philadelphia. But I don't know if you saw this. Sam Phelan, who writes for A to Z Sports. I like Sam Phelan. Good guy. He tweeted out this morning, just because it's Titans-Eagles week, through the first 7 career NFL games, Treylon Burks has 36 targets, 24 catches, and 334 yards. A.J. had 31 targets, so 5 less than Treylon Burks, 20 catches, and 337 yards. So 4 less catches and 3 more yards. Just basically saying, look how
it's
close.
It's the same.
Right. And I was like,
I saw.
That's a totally cherry-picked stat. First off, Treylon Burks' lack of availability is an issue. The fact that early in the season he wasn't out there for whatever reason, it was an issue. Secondly, Treylon Burks has done a nice job the last 2 weeks. Other than that, Treylon Burks was kind of invisible.
I mean, we were talking a few weeks ago about, like, why are people not excited about Treylon Burks coming back?
A.J. Brown played his first game against Cleveland, had a good game.
Uh-huh.
And then he dropped a 4th down pass against Indianapolis, which they lost, which was bad. And then they got smoked by Jacksonville on Thursday night. The 4th game, A.J. had 3 huge catches, like 3 big catch and runs against Atlanta. The Tuesday following that game, we put up a poll and we started the show on who is going to be the better receiver. A.J. Brown, who had 4 games under his belt, or Corey Davis? You know, now Corey Davis, it's easy to now say A.J. Brown's better than Corey Davis.
Oh, yeah, but at the time.
At that time, Corey Davis was the 5th overall pick in the draft.
Right.
And so A.J. Brown was a 2nd-round pick, and he was a rookie, and so that was like a big discussion, whatever. Treylon Burks might be a number one receiver. He might not be a number one receiver. Right now, he's their number one receiver, but he's not a number one receiver in the NFL. A.J. Brown is. That team went to the AFC Championship game. That team had A.J. Brown with 1,000 yards. A.J. was the runner-up for Rookie of the Year. A.J. Brown was on the all-rookie team. Those things will not happen to Treylon Burks. Right now, the rookie seasons, in my opinion, are not comparable.
Well, I mean, the stats are the stats. It just lacks context.
Yes.
It lacks context of what did A.J. Brown become for the rest of the season. Can Treylon Burks become that, seeing as though their first however many games were so similar? And it lacks the context of, yeah, Treylon Burks has done this in the past couple of weeks, but also he was on IR for 4 or 5 weeks. The stats are the stats. The numbers are the numbers. Those aren't cherry-picked, but the context is lacking. The context that shows just how different these two players' rookie seasons have been or will end up being.
Well, especially because if we went to by week 13 of their rookie seasons, you know, A.J. had like 800 yards.
Right.
You know, and so, again, A.J. was a finalist for Rookie of the Year. Treylon Burks is not going to be a finalist for Rookie of the Year.
No, he's not.
So let's just, you know, let's just keep it real. That's all I'm saying. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have in the text line?
Merle texts in, says, A.J. wasn't open for the Titans. He was open and making plays and flashes. Every game as a playmaker, plus drops very often. I hope Burks lights it up on Sunday.
Let me tell you something. A.J. Brown was a great player for the Titans. If you say otherwise, I'm going to disagree. A.J. Brown drove me crazy just like he drives everybody else crazy. A.J. Brown was a great player when he was on the Titans. And honestly, Todd Downing, I've told you this, that we thought that for the first 2 months of the season, A.J. was a top 5 receiver in the NFL. He's probably not that. He's probably not in the same class as Diggs and Hill and Chase and that group, but he's right outside of that group. Here, we thought he was outside of the group behind that, or he was in the group behind that group, because I believe Todd Downing kind of held him back. I mean, I think Todd Downing stinks. And I think the simple thing in which I can tell you that I've decided is how I know Todd Downing stinks is just going back to Sunday's game and going back to the fact that Treylon Burks and Austin Hooper played 67% of the snaps on offense. Let's pull up a random Arthur Smith game. Pick a week in either 2020 or 2019. Pick a random week.
11.
Okay, let's pull up week 11. Let me log in here so I can pull this up. Week 11. Let's do 2019.
Okay.
So 2019, week 11. So this is before the Titans were even good. This is when Joe Rexroth was writing that they were terrible. Titans might have been on a bye.
If Joe Rexroth was writing it, were you saying it too?
No. I did not write off the season after the Carolina game. Joe did. They were on a bye. Pick another week.
12.
All right. Week 12. 2019 Titans, they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they blew them out in this game. Mm-hmm. And I got sick the next day and could only make it to 3:52 on the air here at Bridgestone Arena.
Do you remember that story?
That was a tough day.
Not pretty.
Okay, so again, Treylon Burks, number one receiver, 66% of the snaps. Austin Hooper, number one tight end, 66% of the snaps.
Uh-huh.
A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, 74% of the snaps. And this is not a game where everybody played because they blew them out.
Uh-huh.
Jonnu Smith, 94% of the snaps. Jeez. Corey Davis, 74% of the snaps. Derrick Henry, 75% of the snaps. A.J. Brown, 70% of the snaps. So you see
the good players are playing.
What more? Yes. 94% of the snaps for Jonnu Smith. Todd Downing, he's got his head up his rear end. What's next?
Jeff in Hendersonville says, those stats aren't cherry-picked. Seven starts versus seven starts. A.J. missed plenty of games as well when he was here.
No, he didn't. That is a complete and total fabrication.
Over his entirety of his career with the Titans?
No.
But rookie season?
No. Corey Davis missed games. A.J. Brown got hurt in the games, but A.J. Brown did not miss the games. A.J. Brown, as a Titan, played in 16 games, 14 games, 13 games. I guess he missed games last year when he got hurt.
Yeah.
And 11 games so far this year, which they've only played 11 games.
Right.
16 games, 14 games. That's not like missing a bunch of games.
But it is the going out in the middle of games that might be even more frustrating.
Oh, I'll tell you, that 2020 season, there were these games where A.J. Brown would go down with like an injury.
Uh-huh.
And I'd be like, oh, A.J.! And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, he's done. He's done. A.J. Brown, get the card out. Season's over. Wrap it up. And I'm like, oh, God, Lord, please be with A.J.
I can't even imagine this overreaction.
Literally three plays later, A.J. back in the game. Used to drive me nuts. What's next?
Steve from Murfreesboro checks in and says, what if Burks gets more yards than A.J. this weekend? What's everybody saying?
Oh, gosh, it'd be so. But I think it's John Robinson. So in 2015, the Titans played Tampa Bay. And Jameis Winston threw a pick six on the first drive of the game. Mariota was like 14 of 18 for 280 yards and four touchdowns. It's the best start ever in the history of the NFL for a career. And at halftime, the Titans were blowing out Tampa Bay. And, they were killing them. And Marcus was awesome. And Jameis was terrible. And I texted Floyd. And I didn't know that Floyd had worked with Jason Light, the general manager in Tampa. I didn't know that they worked together in New England. And I said, how would you feel if you were the general manager in Tampa? And I can't repeat exactly what he said verbatim, but it was along the lines of, he said, he's a good friend, and if I were him, I'd want to, and it was bad.
Okay.
I can't say what it was. I can just tell you that it was bad. And so, you know.
And I think anybody would understand that was bad.
If Burks outplays A.J., like if they go in there, they beat the Eagles, Treylon Burks has 111 yards, A.J. has four catches for 32 and no touchdowns. I mean, John Robinson, on any other plane except for this one specifically coming home, would be wanting to get the champagne out. Now, this one we know.
Probably won't.
But John Robinson, he would want to get off that plane and say, kiss my butt, everyone. He would want that so badly.
But would it be enough? Let's say Treylon Burks balls out against the Eagles. 146 yards, two touchdowns. And that's all he does for the rest of the season.
So, in the moment?
Like, symbolically, it would be awesome.
Right, but in the moment.
In the all things considered, it's not too good.
It's a lot like now, where I think there's probably a lot of people that would rather have Treylon Burks than A.J. Brown. because of what they've seen the last 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like, yeah, you know, Treylon Burks doesn't complain. Treylon Burks is catching the deep ball. Nobody here's caught the deep ball in years. Treylon Burks is, you know, showing some play strength.
He's not on Twitter.
He's not $20 million. He's not hurt all the time, though. He has been hurt. He's, you know, whatever. They talk themselves into it.
Right.
But, you know, 6 weeks ago it was, how could you be so stupid and trade A.J. Brown? So
because 6 weeks ago it did look stupid.
That's my point, though, is that if Treylon Burks balls out and then doesn't do anything the rest of the season, 6 weeks from now, we won't care about that. But in reality, you know what I mean.
I hear you.
Preds game day's next. Stillman and Company live from Bridgestone Arena, 1025, 1063 the game. Thank goodness we are back to playing hockey after two games that were rained out, which almost never happens, but that is, in fact, what happened with the water main break here at Bridgestone Arena. The crew has worked their tails off, and there will be hockey tonight for the Predators against the Anaheim Ducks. That's right. Predators game day is presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Buying or selling, or even thinking about buying or selling, talk to TJ Anderson. He's my realtor. TJ has taken care of two purchases for me and done even more for my friends. I have no hesitation in referring them to him and his wonderful staff. And again, if you're looking to sell your property free and clear, ask TJ, because he's having a lot of success marketing those properties right now. Tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. The Anaheim Ducks, they ain't very good. 6-15-1, that's good for 13 points. The Predators, right there at 500 at 9-9-2. We are past U.S. Thanksgiving. The standings are not pretty to the Predators right now, as St. Louis is ahead of them right now, even though they've got two games in hand. Minnesota is ahead of them with a game in hand. And obviously the Avalanche, the Jets, and the Stars are ahead of them, so they've got some work to do. And it starts tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. Here's Coach John Hines.
You know, like every team, I mean, it's the NHL, so every team's can beat anyone on any given night. It's not who's in everyone's lineups. It's which team's going to come out and play the best. And we know what the style of game and the commitment level that we need to play with to give us the best chance, and that's what our focus is.
Now, you know what that means, right? When the coach says, hey, it's the NHL and anybody can play anybody and anybody can beat anybody, so we're going to have to play our game tonight, you do know what that means, right?
What does that mean?
It means that team sucks.
That's fair.
Anaheim is in last place. They've got 13 points on the season. They're in last place in the Western Conference, and I believe they are in last place in the NHL.
All right. Go
so
Ducks.
The Predators are bringing in the worst team in the league, which takes us to my final thought. Here presented by TJ Anderson Holmes, ahead of Max Hurst, who's getting ready to do this. You can't lose to the worst team in the league.
No.
I mean, you know, it's one thing to watch a game where they lose to Detroit and they lose, what was it, 3-0 they lost to Detroit?
Uh-huh.
And they had 26 shots on net, and everybody's like, you know, they ran into a hot goaltender. And I'm like, hot goaltender, you got 26 shots. A hot goaltender, like a stolen game, is like 53 shots.
Right.
And you get one goal in, like, that's stealing a game. 26 shots, fine, whatever.
Also, you're going to run into a lot of hot goaltenders along the way.
I do not care who plays well tonight. I do not care what that power play that's driving me crazy, what they do. I don't care how many posts they hit tonight. You're playing the worst team in the league. It is after Thanksgiving. You are not in the playoffs, which means you've got a 30% chance of making the playoffs. You promised us you'd be good this year. This is the worst team in the league. Go beat them. And I expect them to beat them. Tonight, I expect them to blow them out. Coming off of what happened with the arena and the fact that they haven't played and that they're fresh and that the Ducks stink, Predators 4-0. And if it's not, I'm going to be more mad than I was after the Arizona game last week. That's it for us. Max is ready to go. I got them all warmed up for you, Max, for the pregame tonight. Predators and the Ducks. Stillman and Company. We'll see you tomorrow, too.